It is our responsibility, it is our gift to love Jesus. Even his close disciples, you remember when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he didn't ask him once, he didn't ask him twice, he asked him three times. He said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Lord, help us to love you as the Word of God describes. One of the characteristics of a born-again Christian in a saved relationship with God is that they genuinely love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just saying, "I love you." Words, you know, they say talk is cheap. I don't want to demean this, but it's easy to say. But the scriptures give us something else. In John's gospel, if you'll turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. If you love me, keep my commandments. The test of our love for Jesus Christ is if we keep his commandments. It's not just saying it, but it's putting into practice. If you go down to the 21st verse, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me." Go down to the 23rd verse. "If a man love me, he will keep my words." If a man love me, he will keep my words. It's not just what is referred today as having a relationship with Jesus, but it's a faith-filled, repentant, obedient relationship with Jesus. It's doing the things that he asks us to do. It's doing the things that we find in his word and being true to those things. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we know his commandments aren't grievous. Paul writes to Titus. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Today, it's a Christianity of kind of almost anything goes. Sometimes it's difficult to distinguish the true Christian from the world by the behavior, by the things that they indulge in. And the Word of God calls us to a higher calling. The Word of God calls us to a separate life. The Word of God calls us to holy living. The Word of God calls us to that. We find in his word, these are not just suggestions, but it's what God left to us. This letter of love that says, if you follow these things, if you follow my word, if you exercise in the word, that I'll protect you, I'll keep you safe, you'll be successful, I'll take you all the way to glory. There's a part for us to do, a part for us to strive for. And we say, "Lord, help us," because in this world, it's unfortunately we see in the religious world that, you know, things have been watered down and everything has been kind of, well, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to tell them, you know, we don't want to go to what sin is. We can't talk about the specifics because someone's going to be offended and we got to have them come back next Sunday. What a sad mentality. We want you back every service. Yes, we do. But we're not going to compromise on the truth. We're not going to compromise on what the Lord expects. We're going to tell you what God says and what he expects. And then it's up to you. Say, "Lord, help us." You see, sin was such an affront to God that he did not spare his own son's life from death on the cross in order to deal with the guilt of mankind. God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. And for us, Lord, how can we expect to just live according to the dictates of our heart and not try to do the best we can? I know we fail. I know we have faults. I know we mess up. God understands that. That's why we're under grace. We're under grace. There is forgiveness. But we don't practice sinning. We practice living righteous. We practice doing those things that please God. We practice living according to the Word of God. Say, Lord, help us to exercise in your will. In Hebrews, Paul writes, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Those are pretty heavy words. What is sinning willfully? That's a whole nother issue. But what is sinning willfully? Him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, the word of God says, to him it is sin. Goes right along with the scripture. If we sin willfully, if we don't follow, if we make our own gospel, if we make our own way, we leave out the parts that are difficult, that change our lifestyle. We leave out the parts that are uncomfortable, and we compromise. And we live a gospel according to you or to me. Many Christians do that today. I'm sad to say that, but that's true, the truth. After all, God understands. After all, God is merciful, and he is, and he does understand. But that's not the excuse. That's not a reason that because sin abound, grace abounds too. We don't just go ahead and do the things that, well, I know there's grace. I know there's forgiveness. Thank God there is. But I say, Lord, help us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He writes in Ephesians that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. The blameless bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, betrothed to our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. God wants to present it to his bridegroom, a chaste, a holy, a righteous bride. Notice the scripture, the words he uses, holy, cleansed, radiant, without stain or wrinkle, without blemish, blameless, as a pure virgin to Christ. Oh Lord, help us this morning. Jesus said in Matthew very hard words, for some folks, anyone who loves their father, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And it shouts to me, priorities. What are your priorities? What do I love more than Jesus? Money, hobbies, recreation time, job, recognition, reputation. What do I love more than Jesus? What do I put ahead of Jesus? I ask us all, myself, first of all, Lord, help me to examine myself. What do I put before you? What things diminish my love for you? You know, the scriptures give us many things in regard to what the Lord expects. And I just want to take a moment and get deeper into this with you. Because, well, if we just love Jesus, if we follow his commandments and walk away from that, I want to be more specific. I want you to take just a few things out of the Word of God. There's many I could cover for hours, but I just want to take a few. In the epistles, in Romans, he writes, "Let love be without dissimulation, which is unfeigned or sincere." Let love be sincere. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, entertaining, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Every one of those is a sermon. He talks about a responsibility toward the house of God. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." This is the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He's talking about ye, the temple, ye, the plural. It's talking about the church. Not an individual. There's another scripture that talks about individuals. But you, the church, don't corrupt the house of God. Don't defile the house of God. Pretty strong language. He says in this scripture, in the sixth chapter in 1 Corinthians, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're God's special possession. Even in our giving, we express worship and love. Paul writes in Corinthians again, he says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." That part of your worship, part of your responsibility is giving. We don't talk about money in the church. Very, very rare that we do. But it's responsibility that we have. Are you doing your part? Are you giving it all? When we say we love Jesus, he that obeys my commandments, he that does my word, he it is who loves me. Not a lot of amens, but that's all right. He says, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor,
working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that there that which is good to use to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, untenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? You know, we just took the Holy Supper just a few weeks ago. We celebrated the Holy Supper service. We all should have examined our hearts. Is there anything in my heart? Do I need to apologize to someone? In some people's vocabulary, you won't find the words, "I'm sorry." If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the word says. And we go into the word, and we start to get into the specifics, and we find things that, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I'm coming up short in this area. I've had bitterness in my heart. I've had something against my brother. Paul reprimanded the Corinthian church because there were divisions in the church. Some say I'm for Paul, some say for Apollos, some say I'm for Cephas. None of them saved you. Do we have divisions here? And what are we going to do about it? They got to be gone. Do we want the Lord to work? Do we want the Holy Spirit to fall? Do we want to see revival in the baptism? Yes, we do. And we got to come face to face. Where are we? Individually, where are we? Where am I? Last Sunday morning when I closed the service, I said, when you go, I said, I want you to look into the mirror of the Holy Spirit. I pray and trust that we all did that. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal what is necessary for our walk. The Holy Spirit will, and it's painful sometimes. It's not always pleasant. You know, sometimes we go to the medical doctors and we're afraid. What are they going to tell us? What are the tests show? What is it? And in our minds, sometimes we say, "Well, tell me something good." But no, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us something good. He tells us what we need to hear. Why? For our spirituality, for our spiritual growth. For us to address what God has. God wants to work. If we allow sin to abide in our lives, in our hearts, He cannot work. It's as simple as that. That's why we mess up, we fail, and we sin, and we go right away and say, "Lord, forgive me. Cover me with your precious blood, because, Lord, I let you down. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I lost my temper. Lord, whatever I did, Lord, it wasn't right." And I'm so glad there's forgiveness with the Lord. You know, there's no reason for anyone not to take the Holy Supper. No reason. No reason. Either you don't believe the word or agree with it, number one. Or there's something in your heart, there's lack of forgiveness, there's something in your heart that you won't let go. "Well, that brother, he really hurt my feelings. He really said some nasty stuff to me." You got to forgive him.
That's what the Word of God calls for. We got to forgive. I told Brother Steve, right around the time of his appointment, ordination as associate pastor, I said, Brother Steve, this position requires you to develop a thick skin because there's going to be many criticisms. There'll be many people upset with you. If you preach the Word in its purity and the whole Word, somebody's going to be upset. But you got to have a tenderness and a sensitivity to everyone. Thick-skinned and thin-skinned at the same time. Only the Lord can do that for us. Really, that's for every one of us as Christians. Someone's going to offend you. Someone's going to tell a lie about you. Someone's going to get mad at you. People have said some mean-spirited things to me. And I take this pulpit and I say, Lord, give me the grace to forgive and to love. Because they may come up here one day to be anointed, to be prayed for. And with all my heart before you, I've got to pray for them in sincerity and lay hands on them and ask you to heal and deliver them. And if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything that's there, Lord, help me. I can't have it. And really, you're no different than me. We pray one for another. To pray one for another, there can't be anything in our hearts. Paul says, Colossians, but now he put off also all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, the God kind of love. In Thessalonians, in Hebrews, Paul writes, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Be in the services. We have an adult Bible study on Sunday morning. I'd like to see more of you there. I would ask the question, why are you not there? Now, I know, I'm not talking about some that have infirmities and they have problems in the morning. Please. I'm not talking about those that are older and maybe can't get out at night or can't drive at night or have there's some physical situation. Or maybe they live a long way off and they're afraid of driving at night. I understand all that. That's not what God's talking about. But habitual. If you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that what the Word says? Yes, it does. We have the prayer meetings on Saturday morning. Where are you? Where are you? We want to see a revival. What's it going to take? Prayer. What does the Word of God say? Pray without ceasing. Where are you? Well, I can pray at home. Yes, you can. But it's better when we can pray together. Because we get encouraged. Some of the prayers that are lifted up on Saturday morning, some of those prayers, I go home invigorated. I go home strengthened. I love to hear my brothers and sisters cry out to God. There is a freedom that we have, and the Holy Spirit moves. You're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why don't you join us? It's easy to say, I love Jesus. Oh yeah, I've loved it. I'm in the Lord so many years. I do this. Well, that's wonderful, brother, but do you love him? Are you doing his commandments? Some of you have already determined you're not going to be here tonight. And you're not going to come on Wednesday night. Brother Ronnie, you picking on, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just the facts. And I ask you, what? Do you love Jesus? When Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs, what was he telling him? Well, Peter was he became a pastor. But what was he telling him? Fulfill your calling. A member of the body of Christ, fulfill your calling. The body edifies itself in love. The body encourages itself. Your presence here in the service encourages us, does it not, brothers? When we see your face, it encourages us, thank God. Because we pray for you. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the work of God. We pray for your children and grandchildren. We pray for those that have left us and are out there somewhere. And if we would all come together, one mind and one accord, if we would come to that position, if we would come like they did on the day of Pentecost, like they did in the prayer meetings, God would move in a mighty way. Oh Lord, help us this morning. You know, there's a tendency when we get older to kind of slack off, to kind of say, well, let the young people, you know, I want to see others get involved. That's wonderful, good. Let the young people, yeah, we need to encourage the young people, but we need the older folks not to take a pause here. We need the older folks to lead the way. Because when I read in the Word, I hear Paul, who could have easily said, you know, Lord, it's time for me to, I got to retire. But what did he say? He says, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't attained. I haven't got to the place where God wants me to be yet. I'm still pressing. Peter writes, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Gird up the loins of your mind. We're in a spiritual battle. The enemy is waging war, and the war is escalating. The war is escalating because he knows his time is short. And he's going to do as much damage as he possibly can do. What does the Word say? Deceiving even the very elect. Lord, help us. Help us to take stock of our lives. I'm going to close. Brother, sister, would you come forward? You know, Brother Steve, had a wonderful message Wednesday night regarding the church of Ephesus in Revelation. He says, I hold this against you. He says, forsaken the love you had at the first, consider how far you have fallen and repent. Ephesus was a great church. On the surface, you would consider it a good church. They worked hard. They didn't tolerate false doctrine, false apostles. They endured hardship. They persevered. But he says, I have one thing against you. One thing. You left your first love. Why was Jesus so considered doing all the right things? They're doing all good things. Why was Jesus so concerned? Because when the love for Christ declines, we deteriorate spiritually. He doesn't command the same priority in our lives. Well, it's Wednesday night. I'm kind of tired. I think I'll stay home tonight. After all, you know, I don't miss much, but sometimes, and, you know, I've been going to certain church all my life. Brother Steve brought it out so eloquently. Oh, Lord, the words are ringing in me. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, Jesus said on another occasion, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I don't want to just honor him with my lips. I want to honor him with my walk, with what he means to me. And in Matthew, I'm going to close with this scripture, 22nd chapter. And they said to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Help us to not just say it, but help us to live it. Amen. I know this is a hard word. Believe me, I'd like to preach something else. I don't pick the message. And you can get angry with me. You can be upset with me. Oh, there he goes again. It's so hard. You know, why can't he say nice things? I'm not trying to say nice thing or good thing. I'm trying to tell you the word of God. I have a responsibility. Well, who are you, Brother Ron? You're not perfect. You're right. I'm not perfect. I'm just a brother like you are, called to this ministry. And I want to fulfill it the best I can. I want to tell you what God puts on my heart. Because I want you to make heaven your home. My only agenda item is that you make heaven your home. That's it. Whatever I do should support that. Make heaven your home. You don't want to miss it. Brother, when you stand before the Lord, sister, when you stand before the Lord, Brother Ron isn't going to be with you or your family or anybody else. It's going to be you and God. And everything that you said and did is going to be flashed before you. And you can't say, Lord, I didn't know. Lord, I didn't, they didn't tell me this. It wasn't, I didn't have the strength. And God says, remember last Sunday, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Partakers of the divine nature, that we can live the life. God gave us the tools and the equipment to live the life. I send you the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're not baptized yet? Seek the baptism. There's no excuse not to be baptized. Brother Ron, I've been praying a long time. Sometimes the Lord tarries, but keep praying. Say, Lord, whatever it is, get desperate with the Lord. Lord, whatever it is, I want it. I need it. I see in my life, I need it. I need the discernment. I need the power. I need the strength, because in myself, I can't do it. I made mistakes in the past, and I've made decisions that caused me to be where I am right now. But Lord, can you change things? Yes, I can. Can you deliver me? Yes, I can. Can you help me? Yes, I can. Nothing is impossible for him. Lord, help us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy mind. The first and great commandment. Lord, we love you. We want to demonstrate that every day in our lives. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?